Howdy roundabout, all you shaggy goose egg boys, and welcome to another episode of Al Pacino's Prison Scene, the summer series. Today we have a very special guest, not the wife, because she's here every time.
Hey, that wasn't her at all.
By the way, we have, shut up, Chris, we have a local artist, Florence, Alabama, Deshaun, a.k.a. Chill.
Hey, how's it going? How shaggy goose egg boy?
Okay.
We did it.
I am Jake.
I'm Kyle.
And I am behaving.
Thank you.
Thank God.
We had already recorded like 4 minutes, and Chris kept saying stuff that was bad. So we had to start over. And you missed me popping open an aha because of it.
Well, you could.
What did you say, Deshaun, about Cold Ones?
It's a YouTube channel.
No.
Okay. Lean in if you can.
It's a YouTube channel.
No, what did you say?
You're like my grandfather.
I've got two people directing me, so I'm just trying to.
What did you say? You're like, I was going to say Cold Ones a podcast, but something.
Saying it's already a. They have a podcast, I think, on the side, but it's already a brand.
It's not working. Kyle, what movie are we doing today?
Oh, we are doing Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. One of, if not, and this may be where some of us disagree, the best Star Wars movie ever made.
Interesting. You know, I would love to say that it's Episode 8. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, you're not Jonathan.
You don't think the best Star Wars like movie is Rogue One.
I feel
very like threatened right now.
You should. I have a gun under the table. You see both my hands right now. My third one is holding a gun.
You're not going to take that out.
No.
It's okay. Funny.
Because it's America, Chris.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So, I guess that before we get into it, yeah, let's talk about Star Wars. Like, because I said it's the best, one of, if not the best Star Wars movies. I think everybody can agree. Episode 5 is like. Like, come on. Like, it's very difficult to beat. It's amazing in pretty much every aspect of it.
Well, again, I would say Episode 8.
Yeah, I would. So, I would almost say that is the best movie, but not the best Star Wars movie.
I think I can agree with you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Visually, it's the best.
Oh, yeah. No, it's...
Salt.
You know that the person who did that was the director of Rogue One?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I was going to say about Rogue One, I really only like the second half of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much like anything after they get off of a Jeddah, that planet is like pretty good.
Which I've said this every time someone brings up Rogue One, but I'm going to say it again because it's a podcast.
Yes.
You cannot get that quiet.
The plot of Rogue One is basically Halo Reach. But hey, it's based off of like something that was established in Episode 4, so you know, who's copying who?
It was based off of one line in Episode 4.
Yeah, I know.
I honestly think that this prequel trilogy is my favorite trilogy.
Really?
It's going to get a lot of flack, but I think that it's so powerful that all three of these are tragedies.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because like Episode 4 ends on a high note, obviously, because they didn't know if they were going to make more. Mm. Episode 5 somewhat ends as a tragedy, but not really. And then Episode 6, you know, Return of the Jedi, I mean, everything's happy.
Yeah.
But all three of these, I mean, Qui-Gon dies. It's the beginning of Anakin's descent into the dark side. Mm-hmm. The Clone Wars is just this entire struggle. It's a war film.
Yeah.
And again, Anakin is... descending into the dark side, yeah. And now the conflict arises.
The final scene is him getting married, juxtaposed, like cutting back and forth between like the clone army being raised and everything.
Yeah,
and Palpatine being in like almost complete control at that point. So, yeah, no, I see that. And Duel of Fates, Episode 1 is really a tragedy because, and maybe we'll get into this later, but like Qui-Gon was like Anakin's father figure.
Well, exactly.
And,
yeah.
And exactly. That's what the Duel of the Fates was. It was the duel over the fate of Anakin. Because if Qui-Gon had lived, everything else wouldn't have happened.
That's actually a point that my wife brought up while we were watching the movie last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you watch all three?
No, we just watched the third one. Yeah. I mean, I've seen all of them, but it's been a bit.
So. I've watched all of them.
And it's been not a bit.
Yeah.
It's been maybe 2 months.
Yeah, I didn't have enough time to watch because I did want to watch the entire. I did want to watch the entire, like, main six movies because the rest of them didn't happen. But I did want to watch those. I just didn't have enough time. Mm.
Well, see, the problem is I had to abstain from paying too much attention because if I watch one,
yeah,
I will end up watching all of them.
Yeah, no, yeah, like, yeah. Legitimately, like, that's what I'm doing, like, the rest of this week. I'm
just I wanted to go back and watch specifically just the second one because, like, I do remember Phantom Menace, but, like, Clone Wars I have almost no memory of.
Yeah.
Clone
Wars was the first movie I saw in theaters. I was 3 years
really?
Old.
Really?
Wow. I saw it on IMAX. I got the dress up.
The first movie I watched in theaters was Shrek 2. And
we went to some good movies for our first movie. Yeah.
I do not know what my first movie in the theater
was. It was probably something like Barbie World Tour or something. I don't know if that's a movie, but...
Yeah, well, at least I'm not stupid.
Well, debatable.
Okay.
But...
hey, before
did you grow up with Star Wars?
Yes, I did. My dad was a huge Star Wars fan. Shout out to my dad if you're listening to this. I hope you don't, though, because I... Just because I say bad things.
Yeah. What about you, Jake?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My grandfather... and my parents are both huge fans. My dad's favorite is Revenge of the Sith.
Really?
Now
that's surprising. I think for that's my dad's older generation.
Before, I would say. He's only 42.
Yeah, but even then, he would have been old enough to at least see like maybe Episode 6 in theaters. But even then, like he grew up with those.
Oh, well, that's true. That's
and
true.
So that's why I'm saying it's like.
Well, another one of his favorite films is Gladiator. So
that's a good movie.
I vaguely remember that movie.
Yeah. You disagree?
Yes. I do not like that
movie. Dude, the final act.
It may just be because every time I talked to my father on the phone for a year straight, every time he would ask me, have you seen Gladiator?
Yeah. Said Gladiator.
That's how I feel about Star Wars as a whole. Like, because so many people talk about it to me, the more I hear about it, the more I just kind of dislike it.
No.
Now
you might get kicked off.
No. The reason I say that is because I haven't seen Star Wars since I was, like, you know, a kid.
Yeah.
But watching it yesterday, especially taking notes, like, I really appreciate it more. It's just the fan base and stigma around it. Same thing with...
Stigma?
Well... I don't use words correctly, but you know what I mean.
You got like the toxic fandom.
Sure. That's why I got out of My Hero Academia and anime as a whole. But
I didn't get into anime because I'm not stupid. But
thank you.
Was that what was
that's
his name?
Lucas?
No, from Horton Hills of Who? Yup.
Oh yeah.
Yup.
No, but see, for the longest time, I thought his favorite was Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, I have like. So Attack of the Clones, the very final shot is Anakin and Padme at getting married. And I have this distinct memory as like maybe a 4-year-old watching it on like an old tube TV. But I had it on full screen, I think. And it stretched the image and made it or compressed the image. And it made it to look like Anakin and Padme were like extremely tall and everything was like. Really focused in, and every time I watch Attack of the Clones, I remember like that like random day that I was watching it. And I think that's just kind of neat, like because I grew up with Star Wars, and it holds a special place in my heart.
Well, your middle name is Anakin.
That's true.
All right, we probably could talk for 24 hours.
Yeah,
I was going to say one more thing that's not about Revenge of the Sith before we get into the recap. Yeah. You brought up that like the sequel trilogy apparently doesn't matter. I heard somewhere that
I brought that up.
Okay, yeah, it was Kyle. I heard somewhere that the sequel trilogy is getting a complete reboot. Is that true?
I felt like that article was clickbait because I know what you're referring to. I'm going to say that that's probably a no, but what they're going to do is they're just not going to reference it in any
and
new
anything
material.
Else.
Yeah.
Are they going to decanonize it?
I think by sheer omission.
They're probably going to do like a Clone Wars animated sequel that's like in between the events of the Skywalker trilogy.
Technically already are.
Are they doing that?
Because it's Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, but that's in between 3 and 4. But there's like a newer one called like Resistance or something like that. And it's like a... It doesn't look appealing to my eye, but yeah. I haven't looked at that. But anyways, I just thought it was important to talk about, you know.
Is Rebels a thing
in it? No, Rebels is in between 3 and 4.
What about Bad Batch?
Bad Batch is like in between 3 and 4, but it's directly after episode 3.
Yes.
Like, okay. It picks up like right after Order 66.
Where does Clone Wars animated series end?
Clone Wars the animated series ends during Order 66.
Like, okay. Darth Vader's in it.
Well, yeah, they do like a final jump at like the very last scene, but the final episode or the final two episodes or maybe even three takes place during Order 66, and it's like getting the chip out of Rex's head. And it's Ahsoka basically fighting like an entire like cruiser.
Spoilers. It's
pretty awesome.
I need to watch.
I haven't seen Clone Wars.
Well, I mean, I didn't say anything of consequence. I don't think other than
but that's really cool.
It is no, but what happens before it, the Siege of Mandalore? That's
just stop. Just
that's
stop,
really
stop.
Cool.
Okay,
it's
stop.
So cool.
I didn't even know that.
You get to see Anakin and Padme have sex.
Let's get this rolling along. I'm about to do a recap.
All right, so Star Wars Episode 3: Revenge of the Sith. Opens up with the dynamic duo known as Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker backed by their trusty disposable clone pilots going to General Grievous's ship where he has Chancellor Palpatine locked up.
Do it.
They take on a swarm of vulture droids as they breach Grievous's ship.
Rip R4.
Do it.
Anakin and R2 take out the droids, saving Kenobi, and they get into a ship. Once Anakin takes out the shields and they enter, I said that out of order.
And Obi-Wan says, "I have a bad feeling about this," because, you know, the shields were pretty easy to open.
And R2, they're at the, like, you know, loading deck, and R2 stays behind and watches the ship as the duo goes to the elevator to go to the observation deck. Damn it, I can't write. This is where they say, "I smell a trap," and, you know, probably is a trap. Duo gets stuck in the elevator, and R2 tries to help, but he gets caught into some messy business with some of the battle droids. Super battle droids, which they pick them up, and then R2 pees on them with oil, and then...
Come a little bit closer.
Alright, anyway, he sets the droids on fire, and then he gets the elevator back to working, and, also during this time, I don't know if I should say this, but Anakin calls Kenobi out for apparently being racist against droids because he implies that he's been making a lot of loose wire jokes, and Kenobi's like, "What? I wasn't gonna say anything," Alright, the duo, they find Chancellor Palpatine, and then Count Poopoo does a backflip.
I'm so mad I laughed at that. He goes, "Count Poopoo."
Count Poopoo does a backflip and starts to fight Kenobi and Anakin.
He does a front flip, actually.
Yeah, okay, we'll show the... Count Poopoo makes Kenobi pass out because he throws a thing on him and he faints. And so now it's just him and Anakin, and they battle for a bit. But then Anakin gets Poopoo's lightsaber, and then it's like, "Hey, checkmate." And Poopoo's like, "Oh no." And Palpatine's like, "Do it." Palpatine tells Anakin to kill him, and Anakin's like, "No, I probably shouldn't." But then, you know, Palpatine's like, "Do it, Nike." And so he kills him. And,
just randomly throws that in there. Yeah, go ahead.
And, so they get Palpatine. They go up to the observation deck where they find, General Grievous. And, Anakin and Kenobi fight him for a bit, but then, Grievous is like, "Huh, screw you guys," and he...
Are you still on the first page?
Yes, he bashes open the window, and he flies out, and...
Bro, we're not even back on Coruscant yet.
And then Anakin has to take control of the ship, and Anakin lands the ship Denzel Washington in Flight.
See, why are you jealous?
If you've ever seen Flight...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny. Yeah. He lands it like Sully.
Meanwhile, Grievous contacts Palpatine, and Palpatine tells him that he's found Poopoo's replacement. Anakin has nightmares about Pad Thai's death.
God damn it.
You know what? Jake, I hear it. I hear it.
Oh, do you?
Anakin wakes up and he tells him that he's had a nightmare similar to the one that he had when his mom died. And he tells Padme, I won't let this become real. And he refuses to go to Obi-Wan for help, which is very important. Anakin talks to Yoda about his visions, and Yoda has a really, really profound talk with him and tells him, quote, the fear of loss is a path to the dark side. Death is a natural part of life. Rejoice for those around you who transform into the Force. Miss them, do not.
Mourn them, do not.
Okay. And he also says attachment leads to jealousy. The shadow of greed, that is. Mm-hmm. And he tells him to train yourself to let go of everything you lose. That's pretty much the summed up conversation. And Anakin meets with Obi-Wan later, and Obi-Wan tells him that the Senate is in favor of giving Palpatine executive power. Which
you mean
will
Palpatine's
help
in favor of giving Palpatine power?
Yeah,
because Palpatine is the Senate.
Okay.
I am the Senate.
I know. Okay, so Obi-Wan says that the Senate is looking to give Palpatine more executive power and over the war. And Anakin's like, okay, that's good. That means that the war will be over because we can, you know, use Force. And Kenobi's like, I don't know about that. It's not the Jedi way. And Obi-Wan does not later contradict that shit. Palpatine tells him that he tells Anakin that he wants him to represent him as the Senate. And Anakin goes to the Jedi Council and tells the Council that, and the Council's like, okay, yeah, we want you to do that, but we're also not going to say that you're, you know, Jedi Master, and then he gets pissed off about that. And then in private, he talks to Obi-Wan about this, and Obi-Wan tells him that the Council's true motive, the Jedi's Council true motive, is to get him to basically be a double agent for Palpatine. And Anakin feels conflicted about this, so he talks to his wifey about this, and she begins to question the Republic, as Anakin is also questioning them. So he goes and he talks to Palpatine in private, and Palpatine attempts to groom him, essentially. Essentially, he's grooming him, saying that, hey, you know, you're more powerful than most Jedi, you're more smarter than most Jedi. And he does this to get him to have more faith in him, to lose faith in the Council and more faith in him. And then he says, hey, have you ever heard of the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise? And Anakin's like, oh no, this sounds like scary Sith stuff. And then he says, hey, he can cure death. And he's like, all right, I'm with that. And so Anakin tells the Council that Palpy said that he should be treated like a big boy and lead the war campaign. And then Samuel Windu says, set the fuck down and let Obi-Wan and only do it. That's exactly how I wrote that. And he's getting jelly now. He's getting really jelly. He's like, hey, fuck these guys. I want to be the main Jedi dude.
Yeah.
So Annie has another vision of Padme's death, but this time Obi-Wan is in this vision standing over Padme, which at this point he begins to suspect Obi-Wan, who up until this point was the only Jedi he truly trusted because he was like a brother to him. And he tells Padme, okay, look, I want more power to save you. I'm not going to lose you. And meanwhile, Kenobi takes command of the campaign. He goes to Grievous's hideout. Grievous tells the Separatists that they are being sent to Mustafar far, far away. Kenobi drops by and says, hello there, whips out his lightsaber, and he starts to fight Grievous with Grievous's freaky four lightsabers. Clone army swoops in, Grievous escapes, and Kenobi chases him. Windu tells Council away from Anakin that they must take control of the Senate for peace. They need to take control of the Senate, and Yoda's like, oh, that sounds like Sith stuff, but hey, let's go ahead and do it anyway.
And we're back.
I didn't wipe.
Kyle had to take a shit. All right, Chris, where were we in our ridiculously long and overly detailed recap?
Palpatine bluntly tells Anakin that he wants him to be his apprentice, to save Padme. He bluntly tells him that he is a Sith, and Anakin's like, no, that's bad, I'm going to turn you into the Council. Meanwhile, Kenobi's fighting Grievous, he kills Grievous.
Hello.
And then we go back to Anakin. He sells out Palpatine to Mace Windu, and Windu's like, okay, thank you for telling me, I trust you.
He said Windu.
He did get launched out of Windu.
Oop,
spoiler.
Windu says, Mace Windu says, okay, thank you for telling me, I'm going to go kill Palpatine. And Anakin's like, let me help you. And he's like, no, you're not a big boy yet. And so Anakin's all mad. And then,
now Chris has to take a shit.
No, he just did.
I lost hey, my
that
place.
Coach on your leg?
All right, and then Palpatine versus Windu. What the fuck? I can't read my notes. Oh yeah, Windu almost kills Palpatine, and then Annie steps
in.
And Annie's like, hey, it's not the Jedi way to kill him. He's you know, he's too weak. And Windu's like, no, I gotta kill him. I gotta absolutely kill him. Because right now Windu's dealing in absolutes. Anakin gives... wait, hold up. Anakin cuts off Windu's arm. And then Palpatine kills him with unlimited power. And then Anakin gives in to Palpatine and says, I pledge myself to your teachings. And then Palpatine knights him as Darth Vader. And then Palpatine tells him to kill children and all and all of the Jedi in the Jedi Temple. And then it cuts to Order 66 being carried out by a man named Cody. A man named Cody.
How unfortunate is that?
Calls out the order to kill all Jedi. A man named Cody. Just think about that. A clone named Cody.
Thought about that. I wonder who it could be.
I haven't watched Clone Wars, so. Anakin kills the kids, and then Padme cries.
Commander Cody.
Cody, yeah. I just think it's funny that a man named Cody, like, carried out the genocide of Jedi.
Well, it was all the clones.
Yeah, I know, but
the first one we see and the only one that gets a name is Commander Cody.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think it's funny. His
I'm stupid.
Anakin kills kids and then Padme cries. Chewbacca does a little cameo as Yoda escapes to Kenobi and Organa, and then Anakin tells Padme that the Jedi tried to overthrow the Republic and that he sides with the Chancellor, and she gets upset about that. Anakin goes to Mustafar to kill the Separatists, and then Kenobi, Yoda, and Organa go to the Senate to stop the Chancellor. Kenobi and Yoda see what Anakin has done to the little kids, and then Obi-Wan begs Yoda for him not to be the one to be sent to kill Anakin, and Yoda's like, no, you gotta kill Anakin. And then Obi-Wan tells Padme that Anakin is a child murderer. And Padme is like, no, that can't be possible. And he's like, sorry, I gotta go kill your husband now. And so he goes to Mustafar.
No. The way he was going that last bit, he sounded like telling
No.
What?
No.
Nah, you couldn't hear
Chancellor.
Chancellor. Okay, continue.
All right. And so Obi-Wan goes to Mustafar. And then, wait, sorry. Obi-Wan walks away from Padme and says that he's going to go kill him. Padme doesn't tell him where Anakin is.
Yep.
Padme loads up a ship to go to Mustafar, and then Obi-Wan, sneaky little man, he sneaks into, I was going to say bastard, but he sneaks into the ship. And
the Force.
And then Padme meets up with Anakin at Mustafar and tries to save him. And Anakin's like, hey, no, I'm with the dark side. I'm a bad guy. And then he almost kills Padme. And Obi-Wan comes in and says, let her go, Anakin. And Anakin's like, no.
Let her go.
Obi-Wan fights Anakin. And this whole fight, really long fight scene, is match cut with Yoda fighting Palpatine. Both fights really cool, but you know who's going to win because you've seen the original trilogy. And then Yoda...
Obi-Wan. The fight, right?
Oh, no, he Obi-Wan the fight, all right. I've been waiting to make that joke all day.
I'm sorry.
But you're going to say, like, your entire life.
All right, Yoda escapes death. Anakin is left to die. And then the Darth Sidious, a.k.a. Palpatine, finds him and then turns him into the Darth Vader that we all know and love. And as this is happening, Padme is giving birth, and she dies. And Obi-Wan takes Luke to his aunt and uncle in the planet that we see in the beginning of episode 4. And Leia is taken by Organa to live a luxurious life on Alderaan until it blows up. The end. So that was a painful recap for all of us. Very painful for me.
20 minutes later, we can finally start talking about what this movie's about. What are you doing there, Chris?
I'm letting you guys shine. I'm letting the real podcast people shine.
Hey, what's this movie about?
Oh, for me, The Dangers of Ideology.
Yes.
Dang. All right. I think I agree with that one.
Yes.
And how it's ideology, ideal ideology is impossible.
You know what movie this can kind of be compared to?
What?
Idiocracy.
I was hoping you were going to say Spider-Man 2.
No, man, me too.
Hold on. Which has been a while since I've seen that movie, but like I know...
But like the stupid people running the...
Yeah, this man like goes in a time machine from like 2005 to like, I think it's like thousands of years in the future, but it's ran by a stupid government.
Hey, yeah. Well, look at that.
We're here.
Wouldn't you know?
No, yeah, I mean, because like the Republic is essentially run like... You got COVID or something? Why are you coughing? Yeah. So the Republic is essentially run like the U.S. is, where each planet is the equivalent of a state, and the states convene with equal representation, no matter the population of that state, and they have equal representation in the Senate, and they vote for the well-being of the galaxy or the federal government in our case. So it's kind of set up very similar to how ours is. But I thought about it specifically because I've seen this movie a lot, and I've never really thought about a deeper meaning beyond like the dangers of becoming too attached to really anything, but in Anakin's case, his girl. And where I got with this is when I was specifically looking for a really deeper meaning, I stumbled upon the failure of the state, and specifically what happens when you have an ideology and you don't apply it equally.
Are you speaking of like the Force, the light and dark?
I'm speaking of the Jedi and the Senate and the Confederacy, like I would say three parties of people all have their stated goals, and they don't express them They don't act upon them equally in every situation. Therefore, their ideal is just it's just words. It's not actions. And I think the dangers of that is what is seen through Anakin, because he he follows the Jedi code, but he sees that the Jedi don't treat everyone equally. Like, he sees that they abuse the Jedi code, and that's what leads him to fall away from it and be seduced by something terrible.
Oh, dang, you! I was going to talk about that.
Yeah, he becomes like disenfranchised, essentially.
Well, yeah, like the reason why Anakin turns away from the Jedi code is exactly that. Like, they are, not only are they so strict, but even they don't follow their own teachings. Specifically with Mace Windu, when he's trying to kill Palpatine, Chancellor Palpatine, Anakin says there, Anakin still believes in somewhat of a Jedi code when Mace confronts Palpatine.
I would say it's less that and more so a test. Because he, earlier in the movie, like, he killed Dooku unarmed, and basically the same situation that Palpatine was in, right? And he broke the Jedi code there, right? But he's basically testing Mace Windu, who is second in command on the Jedi Council. he's saying it's not the Jedi way. And even Mace Windu is like, I don't care. I'm going to kill him because he's too dangerous. Making the same argument Anakin did. And Anakin knows of his shortcomings. And he goes, well, nobody's right. He goes, clearly there should be no moral law here, i.e. the Jedi Code, because not even the people who are enforcing it can follow it.
Well, and if no one is right, then why not do what I can? Right? Well, then why not do what I can to protect those who that I love?
Right, at the very least, yeah. And I wrote here, if you state a moral code and fail to apply it equally to all aspects of your life, or choose to ignore its implications on the most complex issues, then your moral code only exposes your shortcomings and hypocrisy. This leads those who follow under you in a state of chaos, likely to be dispossessed, falling to the dark side. That's what happens to Anakin in this one. And it's certainly in this movie, but you know, you can see it throughout, right. You know, Attack of the Clones and the Clone Wars too, like the show. But to me, that's kind of like, that sums up to me like what George Lucas was talking about, I think.
Well, right, and I think that, have we talked about logic and emotion?
On this podcast?
Yeah.
I don't believe so.
Okay, well.
Maybe you got into it in Horton Hears a Who a little bit, but.
Well, it's also like there is that, I think this is maybe known, but like the Jedi way often deals with logic. And reasoning,
yeah.
Where the Sith deals in like emotion, power, and hate, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and it's interesting to me that one of the shortcomings or one of the things that the Jedi avoid is that emotion of any style, and then to think of like what people often fight for is the people that they love.
Yeah,
and then I wonder if there's a connection there.
Well, in Attack of the Clones, Anakin, when he was first taking Padme back to Naboo to hide out after the assassination attempt, he says, like, you know, he says something about emotion, and Padme's like, oh, I thought the Jedi weren't allowed to love. And he said, well, we're not allowed to have attachments, but we're also supposed to care about every living creature. So I guess you could say that we are supposed to love, you know, we are supposed to love everything and everybody. Encouraged, I think, is the word that he says. But it's like a different type of love. There are different types of love.
That's what I was going to say. I think there's a difference between like this, the romantic love that they have with Padme, and even a platonic one that he has with his mother.
Yeah.
Whereas like the idea of caring for something, I don't necessarily feel is the same as loving something. Like, it's almost like the Jedi have an innate sense that they are meant to protect.
Yeah.
Outside of emotion, but, like, their duty.
Yeah.
Their role in society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And go ahead.
Real quick, I was just going to ask, and I heard this somewhere, but is it not the rule that it's not, like, procreation that's forbidden, but it's specifically like marriage that's forbidden? Is that
you're right about, there are exceptions. Kaidi Mandai, the guy with like the two heads, and he died on like that snowy planet during Order 66.
I always said Ki-Adi Mundi.
Yeah, well, that's wrong. But
I didn't know there was one with two heads.
Well, no, he's got two brains.
The big guy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
His head goes, it looks like a
yeah.
He And I don't know if this is canon.
I didn't know he had two brains.
Yeah, well, that's what that, like,
I didn't
is.
Know.
Yeah.
I thought that he was just the same race as Coneheads.
That's funny. I'm a very big nerd, and that's going to be showing in this episode. His species was kind of like going below the population level that it needed to keep replenishing, and so the Jedi Council allowed him to.
So you need to basically have approval to procreate.
Right, okay. And you need it in like circumstances of like saving your species, you know.
Gotcha.
Which, you know, begs the question, well, what, you know, why didn't Yoda go smash?
Oh yeah, what's the deal with his species?
Dude, I don't know. There's only been two other ones that we've seen in the Star Wars universe.
What's the one besides Baby
Yaddle?
Yaddle, yeah, from episode one. And it's a girl.
Well, but then there's also...
She was on the Jedi Council, yeah.
Grogu.
Grogu. Yeah. That's three. That's why I said. Yeah, I was saying two others.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the name of Baby Yoda. I just know him as Baby.
Oh yeah, well, season two. Have you not seen season two?
I haven't seen any of Mandalorian. I really need to watch it. My boy John Favreau, or however you say his name.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yo, shout out Logan Gordonson.
Yeah. He did Tenet as well.
Back to
what were we talking about?
I don't remember. But I mean, even then, like, even in, like, we have, like, the Knights of the Old Republic, stuff like that, everything is just, the Jedi way has never been ideologically pure. Never. From the very beginning of episode four.
Yeah.
Never have they been ideologically
well,
pure.
Well, that's when I think that a,
I would disagree with that, but go ahead with what you were saying.
That's when I would think that, like, an ideology becomes an ideology when it strives so much to be pure. I don't think any form of government can be completely pure.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with this statement, but it exists for a reason. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
And not to say that the people in power in the, republic, representative republic that we have here are not necessarily in power or in absolute power, but with power comes corruption.
Yeah. And we can certainly talk about, like, the politics of this for sure. But I was going to say, I actually wrote, like, a kind of a definition of ideology here. And I kind of like this. But I said, ideology is a story. It's the story that drives people to act in life in nearly, if not all, aspects. The emotional stability of an individual relies heavily on the integrity of their stories. These stories have a religious substructure, or to put another way, well-constructed stories have a nature so compelling that they gathered religious behaviors and attitudes around them. And these stories protect us by their nature and ask us to act in certain ways that create repetitive iterations of success in multiple dimensions. Essentially meaning the story that you view because we talked about this in one of the last episodes, how we view our own lives as a story, right? And the story by which you live is your ideology, specifically one that is told to you, right? Like, whether that is a political ideology or a religious ideology, everybody has one that they follow. Or some people say, no, I don't have an ideology. Like, I'm completely neutral and everything. No, you're not. No, I don't believe anybody can be neutral about anything. I think what you are is you are either ill-informed or you are just apathetic at the moment. Because I think push comes to shove, everybody cares about something. They just don't know how to state it. Anywho, ideologies grasp us because they inform how we act. And they take the burden of thinking off of us because... Well, when somebody tells you once somebody tells you the story of the Christian faith and you accept it, you no longer have to think about your moral actions because, well, you're following the Bible, and I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing on its face. I'm just saying that is an example of how ideology affects just our actions and our thoughts.
Well, and I think a more, I don't know the right word for this, but a more human thing that exists within our, like, our primal nature is to the idea of safety. So if something is easier to do that will secure more likelihood of safety than that's what we often strive for, which I think is how potentially ideologies come about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the sake of religious stories, they come about from essentially you view the world, right? And you say, okay, this in front of me is happening, right? And you go, well, it's not necessarily why it's happening, but how do I react to what is happening? And from there, you have different people who say, okay, well, this is happening, and I react to it in fashion A, and another group of people reacts to it in fashion B, and then so forth, C, D, E. When these people come together, you have a fighting amongst these reactions to stimuli.
Do you think that the ideologies use, like, Star Wars and in like real life, the government use that as a way to like try to structure people in like a country.
I think
it's heavily influenced. Like, I think the government, like,
I think yes, I think the government pays close attention to how they're to how the public is thinking, popular opinion is with the public, and they just kind of roll with that, saying, "Oh yeah, we."
Well, I feel like that's a chicken and the egg question. You support.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a chicken and the egg question.
Okay,
like
so, I have a very, very real opinion about this.
And okay,
it might be, you might think like, "Oh, Jake is stupid." Mm-hmm. The people in power do not watch movies.
I see what you mean.
If they did, our country would not be a shit show right now.
Yeah, I think I know.
There's a difference between watching movies and understanding them.
Okay, that
I think
they do not pay attention to the movies that they watch if they watched them. Like, dude, look at
Obama screened Episode 7 in the White House.
Like, look at but see, that was a publicity stunt for sure.
Well, no, I know. I'm just making a political reference.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I'm just pointing that out.
A lot of movies are basically showing what the government is doing to the public.
Yeah.
Well, take a look at Shrek. If you truly understood what the entire like Shrek quadrilogy was about, you would not be a bad person. Like, at all.
Oh. Well,
and I fully believe that.
Well, yeah, again, because narratives are really powerful, and specifically challenging those narratives is not something that someone can do easily. Mm-hmm. There's a cognitive dissonance that occurs when you watch something that completely shatters your worldview, and that's what I'm talking about with ideology, because that's the lens through which you view everything is through that ideology, and if someone comes and they completely destroy that lens, well, what are you left with?
Well, and to bring it back to what we're talking about, that like you said, that's what happens to Anakin.
Yes,
completely. And I wonder, potentially,
so people just refuse, like you were saying about they make it, it's
so
just easy.
I don't know much about the expanded universe. I know like a teensy bit about KOTOR and like Clone Wars and stuff.
Yeah.
But
I don't know everything. But
I wonder if there's a correlation between that and the Sith.
About what?
Like the way that Anakin became a Sith was potentially because he viewed the Jedi as this like all good force since he was little, and then when he was inside of it, he saw that it wasn't what he wanted it to be, and because of that is what led him to join the dark side.
Well, I mean, no, I'd agree with that. I'm not sure where you're getting at with the expanded.
I'm saying I wonder if that's how people become Sith.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's essentially like if you state an ideal and then you meet that in person, and then it's like, okay, so like celebrities, right?
Yes.
You're like, oh, dude, like you see a celebrity, like let's say John Krasinski, because I don't know how he is, but let's say like I love John Krasinski. I think he's really funny. I think he's great in all of the stuff that he's been in. If I met him in person and then he was an asshole, I'd be like, oh damn, you know, it'd like completely shake how I watch anything that he's ever done in the past.
Like Tom Cruise being the son.
Yeah, like exactly like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I got a book if you want to borrow it.
About
the Scientology.
Oh, okay. I just thought you meant like, is it one of the ones you read on the toilet? Because I don't want one of those.
Oh, really?
It's called Green Lights.
Matthew McConaughey.
No.
Didn't he write one called
No, Green Lights by Tom Hanks is spelled with a Z. It's Green Lights.
Oh, okay.
You mean Tom Cruise?
Tom Hanks.
I didn't know he wrote a book.
He wrote it when he was on that island for a bunch of years and cast away. Oh, Wilson! Okay, what were we talking about?
Before we go any further, I was wanting to jump back into the whole, like, I don't think the government watches movies type thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily that the government doesn't watch movies, and I think this goes for the majority of the public. They watch movies, but they don't think about movies.
Well, no, they don't think about it. That's exactly what I'm saying. And, like you have, you know, these films that are so powerful, again, like Shrek or Scooby-Doo 2, but because they are an entertainment-based media format, then people don't watch them to be challenged. They don't
Can I say one movie that actually did get, like, the eyes of Korea, The Interview? You know, I remember, like,
North Korea.
Because
yeah.
they were trying to show that Kim Jong-un was really, like, a human.
Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't seen The Interview yet. I need to see it.
So, yeah, but like, war was threatened over
there.
Like,
oh, yeah. On a bomb.
Like,
oh,
yeah. Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah, I remember that.
No, I mean, like, yeah.
It got banned, didn't it, from
the theaters.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It released, you know, on DVDs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so not exactly like that, but when the movie Vice came out, I don't know if you guys seen
it. Oh, it's about Christian Bale.
Christian Bale, and it's about Dick Cheney.
Censor that first word, sir.
Well, but he, but okay,
don't you mean
but,
Richard?
But that's a biopic.
Yeah, it's a biopic, but like, I was watching it with a family member. I won't say who it is, but I was watching it with with a family member.
You know,
and we were we liked the movie, but specifically when it got to the somewhat, it was more abstract parts of the movie when the narrator showed his face. And then died, and it kind of like broke the fourth wall a little bit. I was like amazed by that, and I started like trying to have a conversation to this person about that, and he was just like, "It's just a movie; it doesn't mean anything. Why can't you just watch
that,
a movie?"
I hate that.
Dude, it's like, what are you talking
the same,
about? Even the credit scene where it showed like. Where it showed everything like as far as like the White House being on a fish hook or just other things being on a fish hook was it's been a while since I've seen the movie, but that was symbolism for the fact that he was basically using everything.
The same people who say movies don't matter are the same people who cling to religious stories as being the fundamental meaning of life.
This person is very much like that.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not knocking that belief at all. What I'm saying is that stories are very important, and if you don't pay attention to them, then you're doomed to fail.
Well, no, and that's exactly what I'm saying. Is like the original theory was that like supervillains in movies or villains in movies don't watch films to understand them, to gain some sort of meaning out of life because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So did you ever see Anakin watch a movie?
I did not. Okay, I cannot say it. I never saw him use the bathroom either, so I don't know if he has a butthole.
Wouldn't it be funny for it to be normalized for like just characters in movies to for there to be a bathroom scene in every movie?
Yeah, there was one in Mission Impossible 6.
I haven't seen any of the Mission Impossibles. I'm just talking about that being a normal thing.
It was a fight scene.
There was one.
It's awesome because Henry Cavill like pumps his like hands to get him ready. He goes like charges up his fist.
Yo, but also it happens in Impractical Jokers.
What? Oh, where Joe? Yeah, he's like, he opens up the door at like a public bathroom, and while he's sitting on the toilet, and he goes, "Does anybody have any toilet paper?"
I'm just talking about, you know, like in the next Fast and Furious movie, like right before they go
to space.
On to their mission.
June
Diesel.
25th, baby.
Oh no, they all have to go into the family bathroom.
Transformers crossover.
Dude, I am so.
I want Vin Diesel to transform into a car.
All right, you heard us, Hollywood. Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Yeah, he needs the offspark for the motor.
His bald head.
The offspark.
The offspark.
But, politicians suck ass.
If you're a politician,
you're listening, fuck off.
This is why.
We don't
like,
want you here.
Anytime we see someone become a king or a lord over a land, it's always the people who don't want to be in that position, because the people who do want it for the power,
mm-hmm.
or they want to make change and they're willing to compromise to get into that position,
compromise their morality.
Exactly. Yeah. Like let's look at Jon Snow. For so long he was like, I don't want to be your king.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be your king. And then he was.
Yeah.
And it turned out all right. Now maybe the writing was kind of blech, but the fate of, you know, the entire continent or whatever it's called was
Pangea.
Okay. You know,
I've only seen the first season.
I haven't seen it yet.
Or like Tony Stark. Like, he didn't want to be the leader, but he fell into that position. And then he sacrificed his life for that. Gave up everything he had gained. And then when it came down to it, he was like, okay, this has to be me. Yeah, and I think that's the same thing with, like, politicians. I know we're not talking about Star Wars right now.
Well, it's related.
I do think it does. I agree.
Well, yeah, it's like in the Joseph...
Speaking of related...
Hey, let's talk about the religion getting involved in the state. Oh. And that has to do with the Jedi, specifically. Let me try to find...
Well, the Jedi is basically a religious order.
Yeah.
To begin with. And so once it...
Well, so Palpatine
immediately appoints... when it becomes involved with the state, it's at a downfall. I know this isn't in this movie, but throughout the entirety of the Clone Wars, the Jedi are basically trying to impose their moral standings onto people by using Republic the argument, Army. Right, that, like, we're the good guys.
Yeah,
that's their argument, which is demonstrably bad.
Yeah, no, because in this movie, Palpatine appoints Anakin on the Jedi Council. He's like, I'm appointing you on the council of this religious group, which that's the state essentially appointing somebody into a religion. Like, that's similar to, so let's say that Catholicism mattered in the United States, right? let's say that you had a pope who was stationed in the U.S., right? But like a good pope, not like all of them. So I'm kidding. Some popes were good. The one before this one, I can't remember his name. I think
Francis, or is that this one?
I think that's this one. I don't remember anymore. I don't. If it's outside the U.S., I don't care. So, oops. And anyways, that's essentially like that's like the president appointing a member of his cabinet to serve with the pope. In order to keep tabs on the Catholic Church, so to make sure that they stay in line with what the state wants, right? And then right after that, the Jedi ask Anakin to report on everything the Chancellor's doing, which is the exact inverse of that, where the religious the religion that is separate from the state is now trying to keep tabs on the state in order to, again, find out what the state is doing to make sure it doesn't exceed in its power, sure, but that's a murky territory right there. And they're interflicting the religion of, you could just say a religion with the power of the state. That's like, that's always a dangerous combination, especially when it was not voted.
Well, I agree. And I think, unfortunately, I think most people will say that the Jedi are the good guys, or at least have the proper moral motive, ethical motive.
Like,
for the most part.
During the war or during this specific instance?
During time, eternity.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jedi preach peace, which I think anybody would agree is a good thing.
So we could, the Jedi code, I just looked it up, is there is no emotion, there is peace, there is no ignorance, there is knowledge, there is no passion, there is serenity, there is no chaos, there is harmony, there is no death, there is the Force. Jesus, that's crazy. Like, that's actually kind of crazy. Like, specifically, the first one, there is no emotion, there is peace. Regardless of what you want to say about empirical data, you cannot say that emotion does not exist. You can't say it. Now, you can say your experience may not be objective, but you cannot argue that there's no emotion. Like, that's crazy. That's actually crazy. There was the line that, and Chris said it during his recap about the death bit, you know, it's like, don't mourn people, don't even miss the people who died because they're one with the Force.
Yeah.
Again, that's kind of crazy because... I think a lot of people would say that they define the value of their life by the people that they interact with. And if the Jedi discourage any close enough attachments to where you don't even miss them when they die.
What's crazy
that's kind of wild.
What are those, Kyle? Those are absolutes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's.
But here's the thing:
only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Only. I'll let you say it, Chris.
What?
The line.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Yeah, but why is that?
Honestly, I want to take that soundbite and put it over Obi-Wan saying it.
Yeah, but what's the problem with that statement, Chris? You said it while we were.
The problem is the Jedi are inherently dealing in absolutes.
Well, yes, but that phrase right there.
Only a Sith. Yeah, they're. Oh, yeah. Sorry, that's an absolute statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's immediately contradictory to his entire point.
Yeah.
Which I think is why Darth Revan is such a compelling character.
Well, and that's what I was going to go in further. It's like, well, that's what an ideologue does. They're able to explain everything, all the past, all the present, and all the future. And they claim the full truth and single-handedly wield rationality for themselves. Right? Because they're... The problem is that there is no claim more totalitarian and no situation which leads to the excesses of pride than that claim that what I am saying, it has always been true, is always true, and will always be true. I am the only one who sees things clearly. You cannot through your lens.
Dude, it's ever. Basically just a massive gaslight.
Yeah. It's kind of wild. And it's like, the thing is that at the end of the day...
We're not trying to take over the council, only the Sith is.
Right, yeah. Well, it's like, at the end of the day, the Jedi and the Sith want the same thing. I mean, Palpatine says it all the time. And whether you believe him or not is like, you know, we can talk about that. But, like, they want peace.
Yeah.
Right? And, well, I guess, how do you define peace? Yeah. What do you mean by peace?
When Windu says the only way we will achieve peace is if we take over the Senate, which is against the Jedi code.
Well, again, that's another absolute.
Yeah.
You say the only way that this can happen.
Yeah. Well, you're very much right.
They're not necessarily...
These Jedi are trash.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what... That's so great about Episode 8 is, like, it's a reflection on everything in Star Wars that's come before.
The only difference is...
And it twists that, and Episode 9 sucks! I hate it! Fuck! I hate Episode 9 so much.
Bro.
Oh, my God. It's the worst Star Wars... And what pisses me off about it is not that it's so terrible, but that everybody else likes it. I cannot stand the fact... I went and saw it... Dad, if you are listening to this, I went and saw it with you, and you said it was good, and I nearly shot myself in the face. I fully gave up on life.
But here's the thing. It's a spectacle.
God, it sucks.
That's what the people want. They want a spectacle. They don't want to be challenged. They just want to see flashy lights and things go kapow.
Yeah.
Theoretically, TikTok is ruining America.
I mean, the snow scene was good, guys, when they were fighting.
No, yeah, that's episode 5.
No.
Nine. Wait. The snow
scene? Yeah, where Kylo Ren and Rey was fighting in the woods.
That's episode 7.
It is.
My bad.
Even that one, I'm not, like, super partial to, but I don't hate it with a passion.
But 9 was awful, by the way. We're talking about the last one.
Yeah. 9 can lick my ass.
They kissed, and that's all.
That was so dumb. I remember being in theaters,
and they were
leaning into each other, and I was like, don't kiss. And I remember she did, and I went, oh, my God. And I said it out loud, and everyone looked at me. And I was like, that was the worst. God.
Dude, when Rose, like, stopped Finn from, like, sacrificing himself.
That's episode 8.
That was episode 8. But when Rose, like, stopped him and then said, love is the only way we're gonna win the war. And then, like, the cannon, like, was supposed to be killing everyone else in the background. That happened. And then she kisses him and I'm like, fuck you. Fuck both of you.
Actually.
Fuck this movie.
Actually. Actually,
don't even get me started on episode 8 because let's
go back to a wise man called Vision. We don't trade lives, Captain.
Oh, okay, thank God it's not the chaos and order quote.
No, we don't trade lives, Captain.
Yeah,
and that's what that was, in my opinion.
Essentially, well, what Rose was saying there is that, like,
wait, we're not talking about episode 8.
Well, no, I know, but
I understand.
She was saying is that, like, your motives are impure. She goes, you wanted to take this out by because you hated them, not because of your love for the rebellion.
Yes, but the entire of the, they said that like the door was not going to be able to withstand one blast. They said that. For all she had known, they all died. She killed the Republic just to make a fucking point.
So are you saying that it's okay to compromise your morals if it means that you lose?
Uh-oh.
It's not okay to compromise your morals if it means
so that... then you can't be mad at that scene. Moving on. No, go ahead. Explain.
It's not okay to compromise your morals in the event that everyone you know is about to die.
But no, it is okay.
No, wait. It is okay. It is okay.
It is okay.
Yes, it is okay.
Well, then why did you win?
So why have morals?
Huh?
Why have morals?
Fucking.
But that's exactly what happened to Anakin.
Right.
He lost his morality in order to protect people.
It's just like he was saving them. Yeah. But whether or not Anakin why was he was Padme. Saving them didn't matter at the point. Like,
Anakin
like,
was saving Padme.
No, he's talking about episode 8.
I know, I'm talking about episode 8. I'm trying to bring it back to the movie we're talking about.
Yeah, well, no, this is important. This is important.
I forgot what I was
talking. I was just going to say, like, it's kind of like the Batman thing where he doesn't kill. It's like, you know how many people the Joker has killed, like, you know, over the years because Batman just keeps locking them away instead of killing them? And it's like, but Batman stays a morally... I hesitate to say pure, but like he stays within his moral code by not killing him, even though it leads to more suffering along the way. And it's like, is that right or wrong?
Is just for the sake for him to think that he is a good person. But it's like, okay, what is a good person if you're allowing other people to die just so you can sleep well at night?
Well, like, you could almost say too that it's more about it's not just so like you feel like you're a better person, but it's to keep you away from the monster within. You place that limit on yourself.
Define monster.
You want me to define
it's a
the
type
monster?
Of cheese.
Okay. What?
It's a type of cheese.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's go back to the Enuma Elish, right? The Mesopotamian creation story. When Marduk destroyed Tiamat, and the other Apsu, I think is his name. Or maybe it's Kingu, something like that. But it's the monster king that that wielded the Book of Destiny, right? Mm. Or the Tablet of Destiny. And Marduk defeated him. And from the blood of that king, which created all the monsters, he helped form human beings, right? The idea behind there is that every human being has a little bit of the monster within them. The king monster within them. Being and it's controlling that monster. That's what makes you a good person. Because a weak person is not morally justified by the fact that they are weak. It's the strong person who refuses to enact in terrible things that is a good person. Because you're not a good person because you can't do anything bad. You're a good person because you can and you choose not to.
What does Ben always say?
Strong man.
No. Other Ben.
It's clobbering time.
What?
Yeah, no, he's right. Yeah, Ben Grimm. What is? Yeah.
No, Barnyard Ben.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Oh,
strong man.
Sorry.
Won't back down.
Yeah, Tom Petty's won't back down.
No, what does Ben always say?
I don't know. I can't remember.
A strong man stands up for himself.
But a stronger man stands up for others.
And are you standing up for others when you refuse to kill Joker and have Joker kill them?
I think... especially when it comes to being a symbol of justice, that you have to.
Yeah.
You have to let them live. Because if you kill, then you are just like them.
You have to let Joker live?
It's not for
the sake of the symbol of peace. So what good is a symbol if making that symbol have a good reputation, not enacting peace?
Well, but that's...
Okay, well, you would ask, well, what good is God?
Look at all
the terrible things that's going on around us.
Yeah, I know.
And God has the power to stop it, theoretically, if he was omniscient and omnipresent. Mm-hmm. So why doesn't he do it? Okay, I mean it's the same question that we're getting to, and it's the point that it's up to everybody to choose to do the right thing, and not because they don't have the ability to not.
And if this symbol, if this person who stands for peace decides to go against that, then what does it matter? Even the heroes, even the people that are supposedly an epitome of justice, an epitome of peace, go against that.
That's why the Jedi fail Anakin. Because they...
That's why the Jedi fail.
Well, yeah, exactly. But they fail Anakin more specifically, which is what causes them to fail. They failed him by saying, we have a strong ideal, and you must follow it.
Yeah.
And I am not going to. That's how they failed Anakin.
Right,
and that's the point. It's like, if you state an ideal, you have to follow it all the time, or your hypocrisy leads to the downfall of everyone who follows you. And that goes for Jedi, that goes for the Senate, that goes for our modern republic. If you state an ideal and do not apply it equally, you're the villain.
So the Jedi are the villains.
Yeah.
Well, both Jedi and Sith are the villains.
Well, obviously.
I wasn't thinking it in the scenario of Jedi and Anakin. I was just thinking of it as Jedi and the rest of the galaxy.
Right, yeah.
Well, but then.
Yeah, I mean, it still applies. I mean, I'm not saying this because, like, it's not an easy concept to wrap your mind around. Because, like, when you look at it at its face, it's like, yeah, why doesn't Batman just kill people? Why do bad things happen if we could stop them? It's because
it's not even an easy concept in its abstraction either. Right. I mean, basically you have to make a choice in what you believe in and stand for that without there being truly a right answer.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, people, you may disagree. Like, at the end of the day, you may be like, you know what? If I know that someone is going to kill, like, 100 people, and even though my moral mindset tells me that I should not kill somebody, no matter what, and we can argue about that too. Mm-hmm. But if your thing is no matter what, I'm not going to kill somebody.
You better stick to that.
Yeah, you better stick to that. Otherwise, well, it's the slippery slope principle. Mm-hmm. Like there is nowhere else for you, because no matter what, you state a moral, you already know that you can break it.
Yeah,
you know it.
Yeah.
And I'm not even arguing that, like, you know, in every situation, killing a person is wrong. Cause, like, you know, self-defense is one thing. In war, that's another thing. It's like, I'm not saying that that is always wrong all the time, because, you know, I'm not an ideologue, as I said earlier about the, explaining everything in all concepts. I just got really tired after that. Not like
your brain hurts.
Yeah. Cause, like, I haven't had to, state this out loud before, and so I'm kind of scrambling to do it, but I think I did what I say make sense, because I feel like I was all over the place. Okay, I get insecure.
I love you, Chris.
Shut up.
Okay,
also Obi-Wan leaves Anakin to die. He doesn't kill him, which is crazy. Like, he just leaves him burning alive, and, like, I know that he, like, couldn't do it, oh, my brother, but damn, dude, this man's burning up.
Bro, just imagine if Obi-Wan would have killed him right
there. He could have just force lifted his body
and put it in the lava.
Taken him into the ship and just either held him as prisoner or, you know, like, I don't know.
Hey, but here's the thing. Obi-Wan says it. I have failed you, Anakin.
I have failed you, Anakin. I have failed you. What is Anakin's next line? He goes,
I hate you.
No. You're skipping. Oh, God. What is it? I should have known the Jedi were plotting to take over. Anakin, Chancellor Palpatine is evil. Well, from my point of view, the Jedi are evil. Well, then you are lost.
Yeah. But he was not lost. He was woke.
Does Obi-Wan ever kill anybody?
Darth Maul.
Oh, that's true.
General Grievous.
Oh, that's true.
He was the first person to kill a Sith in, like, since Yoda.
But is that against the Jedi Code to kill Sith?
Mm-mm. It's not against the Jedi Code to kill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, because they try to kill the Sith like all the time. Like that's their shtick.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Okay.
No, it's not against the kid, and I would even say it's a mercy killing, like for him to kill Anakin right there, because again, he's like the man's burning on fire, he's screaming in pain.
Yeah,
I hate watching that scene because that's why I got a PG-13 rating too. It's the only Star Wars movie at that time to get one.
Yeah. Really, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's only because of the immolation scene.
I have heard a lot of people say that, like when they were kids, their parents wouldn't let them watch specifically. Revenge of the Sith.
It's because it was PG-13. Yeah, and it was only because of that. And George Lucas fought it really hard, but he was like, "No, I'm not taking it out."
My dad.
And that's why I love George Lucas. I'll say it. I hate Disney Star Wars.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah. I don't care how much good stuff they put out of it. I hate them because for the simple fact is they will end. Love Dave Filoni. He seems like a great guy. Like, and I like the stuff that he's worked
on. Don't ever meet him.
Yeah, I'm not gonna meet him because then I'll have to kill younglings.
Yikes.
But no, I love that George Lucas is like, hey, MPAA, I want this to be PG.
Set Matt Bez.
He goes, I want this to be PG. And they said, okay, you have to take out the immolation scene, or at the very least, like, make it less violent. And he goes, no, I need that because it's important to the story. Like, it is integral. And they said,
accumulation,
it's going to be PG-13. And he said, okay, then it is. And I'm like, Disney Star Wars would not do that.
No, because it's all about the money.
Yeah, they would go, oh, well, if we did PG-13, less kids are going to see it. And since kids are our market audience, then we have to take it out.
Aren't Disney Star Wars PG-13?
Yes, but it's a different time.
Yeah.
Like, even 2005.
Now, if it's not PG-13, I mean, if it's not at least PG-13, yeah, people aren't going to go see it because it's not cool.
Yeah, well, it's, again, it's like, it's, I don't even know exactly what it is that makes it PG-13 other than, like, the violent aspects of it. Yeah. And it's kind of weird, too, because, like, and we're getting off topic here, but, like, Disney Star Wars, like, humanizes the Stormtroopers through Finn, and then they never use that again.
Dude, yeah, how, like, cool would it have been if we would have got to see, like,
the Stormtroopers, like,
dead war with him.
Form a revolt with...
Well, but that's what Episode 9's climax should have been. Finn shouldn't have been fighting on top of a Star Destroyer just because it looked cool. No, he should have been calling before everybody else showed up. He should have, like, patched into, like, their thing and talked to all the Stormtroopers and been like, yo, I'm an ex-Stormtrooper. Here's why the First Order is bad. Here's why the Rebellion is good, blah, blah, blah. And then you have the Stormtroopers have to decide, and they take over all the ships.
Well, and that's exactly... Well, that's...
Damn, that would have been so good.
That's what Episode 6 kind of sets up with the return of Anakin. Is that, like...
You mean Luke?
No, Anakin.
At the end, like...
Yeah, at the very end.
Because... Sorry, Episode 6.
In my part of my opinion is that basically Anakin was like, oh, I've gone too far. Mm-hmm. I have to commit now.
Yeah.
Because anything else is just, like, utter despair. And so because he realized that he can be redeemed, he redeems himself.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the same thing with the Stormtroopers. Because Finn has been able to turn away mm-hmm. from working for the First Order, well, now we see that it can be done.
Yeah, well, even as a character arc, him going from Stormtrooper who joins the Rebellion to be with Rey to a person in the Rebellion who goes from wanting to be there for a person, then for the cause, then eventually being someone who is able to convince other people to also join the cause. What a great arc. But instead we got Rey! Rey!
Who are you?
Rey!
Rey.
One more.
Rey!
Rey Skywalker. Dude.
Alligator Man's last words.
Rey!
Honestly.
Because he got killed.
Dang. Okay, fuck Episode 9. What did you say? Don't say it again.
You're an evil man.
Don't say it again.
It was really bad. You want to cut it out.
Fuck Episode 9. All right. So we talked a lot, loved a lot. Chris feels bad because he thinks we bullied him, but we did not. Well, we kind of did.
Thanks for that's gaslighting. Yeah. That's gaslighting.
But I just said that then we did.
That's
we bullied Chris, and I apologize.
I've kind of mentally checked out.
I apologize publicly on the podcast.
Yo, who's that outside? Sorry.
All I see is a reflection. Yeah, anyway, do you accept my apology?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, no.
Yes, I do. I will try to be better next time. I'm sorry.
Do we need to rate this movie for the Ready or Not?
How many explosions?
There's like infinite explosions in this movie.
Is it people, though? Do we see people explode?
You do see...
It depends on...
You do see a clone floating in space after his ship explodes in the first...
That's not an explosion.
It depends on how
your ship explodes and he goes...
Yeah, but do we see...
People.
People explode.
Plo Koon.
This is true.
Well, I feel like that depends on if you value droids more than Kenobi does.
What a good callback.
Yeah, I know.
That's funny.
I do.
If you do, then we see a lot of like droids like explode.
Yeah. Or just get sliced.
Yeah. Well, but even then...
A slice is different from an explosion.
Yeah, but they blow up in like explosions throughout the movie. Like,
yeah, but I need to see... That's like with Transformers, like it isn't implied that people exploded, but not a really they exploded.
So you want to see it like on screen.
Yes.
You want to see their bodies.
Yes. Ready or not.
Yeah.
There was no implication of that. Their heads went shkla-bluey.
We got at least one for Plo Koon.
For him?
Who was
Plo Koon?
Huh?
He was the orange looking guy who had like the mask on him. And if you remember like the Star Wars The Clone Wars meme where he's like, sorry, we're just clones. We're meant to be expendable. And he goes, not to me.
I don't know.
He's on the Jedi Council.
I don't remember.
He's got the extra finger that's real long.
He was flying the ship. You remember during Order 66 when they're flying around and there's like that planet where it's got like almost like the halo ring?
During that time I was busy taking notes that you guys just shat on.
Literally. This time.
That's what that smell is.
Yeah.
What's dripping down my leg. It's not beads of sweat, I promise.
You guys can watch the video on our OnlyFans.
What?
Link in the description.
Al Pacino's prison scene.
10 bucks off if you get that reference. Was there a reference? No, I just want to make that joke.
Hey, 10 bucks if you get it, though.
10 bucks if you get our OnlyFans. We pay them. Please, we need the exposure of our exposure.
I don't remember that many explosions. I mean, I'll give it a 3 because of Plo Koon. And I might say implied 5, but actual 3.
There's a lot of explosions than just the opening scene.
Yeah, but do we see anybody explode? Or is it just explosions? Because there's a difference.
R4 gets his head ripped off.
Not an explosion.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah.
That might be a whammy's ammy.
The only one that I can think of in my head of seeing somebody explode on screen is just Plo Koon. So I guess I'll give it a 2 on that aspect.
Yeah, well, 3 minimum is one person blows up. That's 3.
That's why?
I would say 3.5 then.
Because that's
3.5.
I'll say 4.
There's only one.
But that's only one that I can recall. How long are we going on? Oh my god. Yo, an hour 30? That's crazy.
Well, a lot of it is going to get cut out.
Yeah, I know, but that's wild.
No. What were you going to say?
I can't remember. Oh, I probably said I just want to die. I think that's what I was going to say. That's why I didn't say it.
Why did you slam, though?
I don't... Oh, because I was...
He was like, testing out his range.
I was annoyed at you guys. What?
What were you going to say?
I don't remember. I don't think I was going to say anything. I was going to say the fact that I said RIP R4 like justifies the fact that nobody should shit on these recap notes. Because not many people like R4 as much as I did.
R4?
Yeah. You know.
I cannot wait for the Kenobi show.
It cannot be it has to be seen.
What, 3.5.
Where's the 0.5 coming from?
The fact that there are other explosions in the movie aside from that one guy. So 3.5 was in the episode.
That would be implied. That would be an implied 3.5. Cause it's based on how many actual explosions of people that we see.
Hey, guess what? It's time for Chris's shining moment. He's in.
I don't want to do this.
He's in the mood for it.
No, I'm not. Hey, we got an actual rapper.
Oh, we got an artist over here.
Freak. We got an actual rapper.
We got it. I'll bring the mic over to you.
All right, hold on. Before we go, if you'd like to write an apology to Chris, you can send that at Pacino.
They have no right to apologize for me. If anything, and I will admit this, I need to apologize to them. Because
if you want to write Chris an apology,
because I'm sure not gonna
send that over to PacinoPodcast@gmail.com. All
right,
and send us your favorite Star Wars memes on Twitter. At PacinoPod.
Please,
PacinoPod.
I'll do the beatbox if you please. I'm way better at beatboxing than freestyle.
They're gonna judge.
No, come on.
Just sing it all the time.
Just sing a verse of your song.
Come on.
No, it's got to be Star Wars.
It's got to be about Star Wars.
Just making anything my way Star Wars.
Star
just
Wars.
Like,
please. Making my way through these Star really Wars.
If Jake does
it, it's really not.
I'll just say in the back of making my way.
Let me beatbox. Let me beatbox.
Chris got the beatbox. Hold on. Let me unroll this. All right, let's get just a little bit of silence so we can cut through. We need Deshaun. Just talk real quick. Let's see. Your levels. Just talk for levels.
One take, Jake.
There it is. Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Yeah. Just keep doing ad libs like that. Making my way. That hurt my man's feelings like a circumcision. They was talking about the Star Wars and he mentioned religion. Talking about Jesus Christ, cause he gave his life. Jake's a one take, he's pretty good at giving advice. We was Star Wars, Obi-Wan, Obi-Can, like he's Anakin, like he's Toucan Sam. He was flying in the sky, then he killed his wife. Then he reminisces Jedi way like it was life. You got Yoda, he been driving fast down the lane. Every time I watch Star Wars, I go insane. I don't like the prequels that much as the sequels, cause I'm not a SEAL. But I go to sleep late at night on NyQuil. I gon' sting you in the heart like you was a seal, electric eel. And when I put the cap on my drink, it's a seal. Don't you ask me how I feel, okay? Why do you think about Finn? He's a stormtrooper. He mentioned he had to take a poop. He's a pooper. That's a one take.
You guys going out.
All right, everyone. I was going to go in, but...
Nice, that's what she said.